Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, John Emota. And of course, AV Insider can be found as part of the Rave Radio Network, which, of course, again, can be found at ravepubs.com. Check us out there if you didn't find us that way. I'd be interested in how you did find us. Maybe you found out through word of the internet or this lovely thing we call the cloud. Whatever it is, again, you can find us at ravepubs.com. And of course, I have a wonderful guest who has been on the show prior, and I'll tell you all about that show later. For now, I have Michael Maniscalco, who is the lead Imagineer, a title I just made up for him, at Aihiji. Mike, how's it going?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Do you want to give us your official title, or can I just stick with lead Imagineer?
You know, I kind of like that, so I'm going to go with it. I was one of the founders of the company, and, you know,
perfect.
We are a creative company at heart, so lead Imagineer, let's do it.
Lead Imagineer, I like it. Sold. I would expect all your business cards and email signatures to be signed that way from this day forward. Currently, or, well, when you, the listener, are hearing this, ISE, the International, oh, man. Brain fart.
International Systems Europe.
International Systems Europe. This is where my lovely assistant, who, by the way, if you're not a listener of the show, is a small, furry, four-legged creature who signs all my emails poorly because he's all paws and no thumbs, would tell me, yeah, International Systems Europe. This is where...
Integrated.
Oh, man. See?
Integrated. Maybe that's right. Yeah, I think that's
words. So many errors today. So many errors, everybody. Integrated Systems.
Actually, it's a great show for everybody listening. If you've never been out to ISE in Amsterdam, it's a fantastic trade show.
Which I have never been, and every day I regret it because everyone is tweeting me lovely, lovely, cutting-edge technology, silly photos, good times, and just all-around good information to have. But aside not being there, I do have an awesome company, Aihiji, here to talk about what they've been showing. And there are quite a few things that you guys have shown there at the show, correct?
Yeah, we had a really busy show. We've been working on quite a bit, and we were using kind of ISE as a big announcements platform. It's probably our second biggest show of the year outside of Cedia. So it's a good show for us.
Okay, so as the announcement platform, meaning that this is where you officially announce it, and the things we're about to talk about have not been announced until this point, or the point of the show, correct?
A good number of the items that we announced at the show, we've been kind of sitting very patiently looking forward to launching this news because it's some exciting stuff, and some of it has been, you know, minor improvements since Cedia, but there are some big things we definitely have announced just for this show. So our whole team was excited about the things we're doing. Our dealers have been really happy with the things we're doing. So it's a lot of good news.
Okay. So to my knowledge, there's actually a list and not just like one or two. There is a nice little list of announcement. Let's just pick one, right? You have the remote monitoring appliance intro or appliance.
Yeah. So the new App 750 we announced to our dealers just at the end of the year. We never really made an official announcement until just prior to ISE. It is our new remote monitoring and management appliance to replace our App 500 appliance, and also is the platform moving forward to eventually replace the App 2100. And the great news with this one, it's got a little better processing power, but it also is capable of supporting, you know, the next generation of ISP speeds. And I'm sure you see this out in California, but we're seeing it nationwide where ISP speeds are 150 megabits per second, 300 megabits per second, gigabit, you know, Ethernet to the home now is, or gigabit internet to the home is now a big deal. And some of the older computing platforms just didn't have the, you know, the processing capabilities of handling that type of speed testing. And, you know, the internet, we like to say the internet's more important than water to a lot of our clients and our dealers' clients. So being able to accurately test their ISP speeds is really important. You know, this new hardware platform is capable of supporting even those gigabit customers of yours for speed testing. So that was one of the big news pieces there. It's also, you know, professionally designed. It's a nice metal casing with some screw-in power, so it's not going to pull out in power because it's a monitoring appliance. You want it to be stable. The other great news is the power supply is external. So for the international crowd who is trying to work with our App 500 with an integrated power supply, you know, power form factors, things like that became a challenge. Now it's a simple swap of a power cord and they're up and running. So that's why we're really looking forward to talking about it at ISC.
It's funny that you mentioned those types of internet speeds here in California. Where I live in California, in Northern California, there is a internet service provider by the name of Sonic. And they're kind of a small startup company, if you will, but they've been like launching fiber at like a rapid pace. And for a year, there's been a sign across the street from my apartment complex. And I live in an industrial area. It's like the only residential piece of land in this entire commercial complex of area. And there's been this sign in a big field that says fiber coming soon for like a year. And then one day it changed and said fiber's here. And I called them up and said, let's do it. And they're like, ooh, yeah, it doesn't cross the street to where you are.
Oh, man, that's a buzzkill.
And I still have to look at that sign every day. So
it's amazing what's changing, though. It just a little bit of good news for the people who are waiting for fiber and things like that. The things they're showing over coax and even over wireless to bring gigabit speeds to consumers without necessarily laying fiber is progressing really, really quickly. So the good news is a lot of future customers won't have to wait like I did for them to tear up an entire neighborhood, an entire block, bore fiber and pull it to the house.
Yeah,
it's going to come pretty quick, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and with that company, they are focused on some of the key areas in larger cities and slowly working their way back into the city where they've originated from, the city that I live. And but yeah, everything else is rapidly growing, just like technology, which is great. So if I lose you or if I have a bad connection, I'm going to blame someone else, probably myself, for not having the best internet speed or just stealing that fiber from right across the street to this little apartment complex I call home. So that is one of your announcements, or one that you've announced unofficially prior to the new year, and then now officially at Integrated Systems Europe. You also have, let's see, a cybersecurity panel and new security. Is that correct?
Yeah. One of the trends we're really, you know, we've been watching this one for a little while now, and it's really interesting is just the security space in general. You know, what's going on with these botnets and the home automation systems that you see hitting the press and all this Shodan search engine for finding exploits and control systems. You know, all this has been going on for years, but it's been steadily mounting in severity and size of these attacks to the point where the latest attack, the latest publicized attack back in October, November, you know, these things were generating, these botnets were generating up to a terabit per second of traffic against certain servers. You know, off of distributed devices like IP cameras and NVRs and things like that, that our industry is typically installing, right? So we're looking at different ways to help protect the consumers, help protect the dealers with security auditing. And there's a lot happening. So one of the things we're doing out at ISC is we sat on a panel that Infocom, Cedia, and ISC are jointly hosting. We're talking about the motivating factors behind why security should be taken seriously and how important it is. Just trying to educate the industry a little bit. I think that's the key right now is education. But also we are developing solutions to help this problem as the industry becomes more aware and as consumers become more aware, to help dealers audit these systems and their networks on a regular basis to find signs of trouble. Right? So then now these dealers can offer services to their clients that say, hey, we are monitoring the security of your system. Maybe the dealer is able to get a recurring subscription fee for that service that they're offering on a quarterly, monthly, even regular, you know, daily basis where they're doing audits for their customers and keeping their systems as secure as possible. Because we're talking about the home, you know, the home has a lot of privacy concerns. But when you look at the future of all this connectivity, it also starts to become a life safety issue when your car is on your home network and your car has a control system that's able to control everything from the volume to the brakes, it becomes a life safety issue. And that's definitely a hot topic in the security space and a kind of an emerging space in general that we're really looking at.
Now, are you seeing this category as your company is a software as a service? I would categorize it as a huge growing trend or a huge growing need within your company, or aside you being forward thinking and knowing that this is going to be a huge thing with security and everything being connected these days, do you see more people asking for it before you've even started to kind of like announce it? Like, right, we were talking about announcing these things at ISE, but have your dealer base been asking you about this, with security issues and all that? Have they been bringing up concerns like this to you?
I think that's the interesting thing is I think the industry, the dealers are still, they read about it, but they're not still entirely certain about what it means to their business and their customers. So we've always been big in education, right? We've written a lot of the CDN networking content. I sit on the IT task force that does all the IT content for CDN education. We do a lot of speaking for the industry. We help our dealers with webinars and learning how to adjust. And we've always talked about security best practices. But a lot of the industry has been slow to follow some of those best practices, and the solutions we're developing are designed to help them adopt them and then show the benefit to the client so that they can actually see some value and show some value in the things they're doing. So it's not necessarily something that the customers are asking for yet, and that's why I say it's emerging. But we definitely think it's a trend for 2017 and beyond.
Okay, now let's talk about your Envision Light service.
Yeah, that's something that's evolved a bit since CEDIA Expo, and this is really our opportunity to talk about it on a global stage. It is one of the biggest changes to our pricing model in the history of our company. I think one of the good things about IHEEJI is we've been around for over 7 years. We were born out of an integration company where we developed this for our own customers. But one of the bad things about IHEEJI is we've been talking about this for 7 years, right? So a lot of people know us from what we were when we started. And when we started, we were $3,450, so $3,450 per year per installation for our services. That was our dealer cost. And we started at the very high end of the market. Obviously, that's where you can sell something like this. And over time, our pricing's evolved and changed with the industry as control systems like Control4 hit the market, and now you've got all these IoT systems. Our pricing has evolved quite a bit, but a lot of dealers didn't know about that. And one of the things we did recently is launch this Envision Light service level in response to the things that we just saw happening in the industry. The industry is looking at ways to save money, to cut costs, to manage all these systems more efficiently across their business, use one tool to do it, and not necessarily pay a recurring fee for every site that they're doing some basic remote troubleshooting on. So Envision Light is actually a free service offering where they can do full power management over all of their PDUs, UPSs, PoE switches, soft reboots of certain devices within our mobile application and also our web app for no annual fee against the dealer. Because if you think about it, right, they've been able to do that with Wattbox for free for a long time. They've been able to do that with Bluebolt for free for a long time. Now we're just making that free through our service so that dealers only have one app to do all of their power control because we integrate with all those companies. But the other thing we've included is kind of a value add and differentiation. They can also do internet speed testing for free, internet uptime monitoring for free, and some limited network scanning for no annual fees and no monthly fees. And that just makes it something that now the dealer can deploy across every one of their client sites and not have to worry about the cost, but still see the benefit. And then ultimately, what we want to help dealers do, and this has been our song and dance for what, 7 years, is we want to help these guys find recurring revenue. We want to help all of these dealers out there who are looking at ways of making their business stronger. We want to help you find recurring revenue. And that's what our Envision Standard tier is doing. It's tied to some value-add services like deeper integration and monitoring and alerting and notifications and remote access. That's a premium service offerings called an Envision Standard, and that's where you start to pay monthly fees. So basically, the way I like to equate it is one is a troubleshooting and a reactive service, the other is a proactive service. We are kind of aligned with a dealer's success in selling the proactive service as a recurring service plan, and we are incentivized to help them or dealers figure that out. So it's definitely a big change to our pricing. It makes us probably the most cost-effective solution in the market. And I think that's something that a lot of dealers aren't aware of yet. So we're trying to talk about that as much as we can.
So before we get into some of the other stuff we're showing at IC and or you've shown, not we're showing, but you have shown, what would you say if you could pick one thing out of IHG's offerings, what to you seems to be the most common offering that your company provides to the dealer that I would say that, you know, most people get to this point and say this one service alone makes sense for my company to provide these sort of tools, if you will, to prevent me from rolling a truck or monitoring all these things. Is there even one thing that you see or would say this one option alone from IHG is the number one reason people use our services?
Yeah, I don't think there's any one thing. It's definitely a collection of things, and that is what makes us so different, is we have so many different value adds to the customer. So from a dealer's perspective, I wouldn't say that if I was to sample 100 dealers, they'd all say it's this one thing. In my mind, if I was to pick the one thing that makes the biggest difference, though, it is that power management capability.
Okay.
Because we are bringing the full power control across all of your brands, whether it be Panamax, Snap, APC, Triplight. I mean, we integrate with dozens of power units. We integrate with Cisco, D-Link, Package, Arachnus, all these PoE devices. We do soft reboots of things like Sonos and Control 4 processors and touch panels. We do all that, and the dealer doesn't have to pay annually for that. So all they need to do is put our hardware appliance into the field, and they get that benefit. And what that benefit is now is having a single solution that every one of their clients is standardized on, and all their technicians are trained on. And then they can manage all those accounts from that one application. The technicians just use the Envision app. They don't have to think about, well, am I trying to reboot the switch or the PDU? And was that switch a Cisco switch or an Arachnus switch? Or was the PDU made by APC or was it made of Panamax? Because that's what we used 5 years ago. The techs in the field are facing this app analysis paralysis where they don't know where to start. And if you would adopt a single platform across all of your client sites, it becomes easier to manage, you train less, and the tech jobs become a lot easier. So if I was to pick one thing that I think matters most, it's that standardization of a platform. And it's a platform that works with every single manufacturer out there. That's one thing we've done since we started. We've been very manufacturer agnostic so that we are the single pane of glass into all of your solutions. And we integrate with all those companies. So, you know, it's funny because I said a lot's changed over 7 years, but that's definitely one thing that hasn't changed is we've remained the Switzerland of remote management systems, if you will.
I think that's really a smart move because I see, and not to compare them to you, but other companies that want to be a proprietary company, right? Like I only work with my own things and I don't like playing well with others kind of model, which, I mean, that's great for you as that company, I guess, but the downside is that you can't work with other products and you don't give people the option to integrate, to work well, to be able to be widely used. So why would I use your company when I have, you know, the choice to use 20 other companies in this deployment? And then on top of that, use IHG, which definitely worked well with all those devices and just uses one tool or multiple tools within IHG to remote monitor or service these projects remotely. If I don't have to be there, why should I be there?
Yeah, I mean, you're making a big choice when you commit to a software platform. It's something that you're kind of committing your business to for the long haul. And we know how common, especially being integrators ourselves, how common it is to switch brands based on a number of factors. It could be pricing, it could be innovation, one technology manufacturer out integrated others, one another one, so you decided to switch for the year. It could be stock issues. One was out of stock because of supply chain problems, and you decided to use another brand for 6 months. Or relationships change, right? Your rep changes, pricing changes. You know, there are a number of reasons that dealers switch, even budgets on the client side. It's the client was price conscious, or the client was looking for a premium offering, and price wasn't an issue. And you're always, as systems integrators, we are taking the best of the best and making the solution that works best for the client, right? So you shouldn't be tied to a specific brand. And I think there are a lot of manufacturers that are building these great platforms. I mean, there are some really good remote management platforms, but a lot of them are really focused around making their own hardware easier to use in the field, whereas we're focused on making all that integration work together so that the dealer can manage it regardless of which platform he's on, if that makes sense.
Yes. Now, also for monitoring within the side of platforms, you now, and maybe this isn't specifically new, but it does sound new, is the ability from within iHiji Vision platform to remote monitor or management of MAC addressing?
Yeah, that's a... I'll give you the history. I'll tell you the honest answer, because it's really interesting. It's been talked about for years. And because we have been so committed to educating the industry, one of the reasons we hadn't done MAC address following in the past is because the IT best practice was to use static IP addresses. Like, so with all the CEDIA courses that we've done, with all the network education, we preached standardize your networking addressing scheme, use that on every job, make sure all of your devices are fixed. So you walk into the Smiths, so you walk into Joneses, and your control processor is always at 192.168.10.30, no matter what job you're in.
Right.
It makes your business more scalable and predictable. And if the device is important enough to you to manage remotely, you should always know where it lives in the network. So that's the best practice, you know, that we took from the IT world, and we were really committed to that. But that required the dealer to document the system flawlessly, which we know what happens in the field when you deploy these systems and things change. It required the dealer to keep that documentation up to date. It required somebody to go out there and make sure all the addresses were at the right place just to get the remote monitoring system up and running properly. So some of the other manufacturers that have come into this remote management space started on the MAC address side and then migrated to the IP address side, so that if a dealer did a simple installation where it was five devices and it was an in and out job, right? There's a lot of these in and out jobs. You're in there, you hook up a Sonos or three, and you do a router, and you do a couple access points, you run away. That's happening more and more. And in those jobs, it doesn't necessarily make sense to invest the time in all those static IP addresses for some of these businesses. So they were saying, you know, can't we just monitor these devices based on MAC address? If the IP address changes, that's fine. Just let me know if it falls offline. So we finally said, you know, this is something we see more and more in this industry. This is something we should adopt our solution to. So we worked really to try to make this work within our existing system. We worked hard at it over the last couple of months and launched the MAC address following. Literally, it's launching this week for the dealers so that they have the option. So on their smaller jobs, where they just need to quickly set up the system and get up and running, they can do that. If they have full documentation, they want to take the time to set it up with statics, they can definitely do that. But we wanted to give dealers the option. One of the things we are really focused on for the next 6 to 8 months, kind of running up to CEDIA Expo, is making setup of the remote management system, specifically iHiji and Vision, easier, because that's probably the biggest challenge that dealers have. The remote management systems is set up, you know, depending on how far you want to take it, can take some time. It's the way I compare it to is you buy a Crestron processor, right? It's a black box. Out of the box, the Crestron processor is not going to do much. Once you program it, it's got endless possibilities, but it all depends on how much you want to invest in the programming and how far you want to take the power of that system. Our remote management tool is kind of the same way. Out of the box, you can get some great functionality in 5 minutes, and now with MAC address following and even less time. But if you really want to take it and stretch it to its furthest capabilities, it's going to take a little more time to get in there and tweak. And we're really focused on improving the time to get dealers the ability to use it to its fullest potential, I think is a good way to break that down.
Yeah, I think so. You've always worked well with others, which you stated, and that's kind of been your model, right? Like you said, the Switzerland of remote monitoring services. And you've mentioned Panamax, but now you, I think, are working well with, or even better with, Core Brands is Panamax, right? Where you are integrating with their products even better than you were before?
Yeah, so that was one of our announcements, and that kind of goes alongside. This was a packaged announcement with our new Vendor Insights program, which is what we call the IHG VIP. And this is that's actually really a big piece of news for the remote management space and monitoring space going forward. What we've done with our VIP program is we've done a few things. Number one, we've developed a monitoring standard that manufacturers can implement, because over the years we've learned quite a bit. You know, when we started 6 years ago, what we did to monitor details of a, I don't know, a receiver's temperature was we kind of, I don't want to say hacked together, and if you're a programmer, you'll understand that, but we kind of reverse engineered protocols and just made it work to the best of our ability so we can get this information. And oftentimes that was on an unsupported protocol, right? So it worked great for proof of concept, but the challenge is, like everybody realized with, I guess, Sonos recently, when that unsupported protocol changes, the integration breaks and your remote monitoring breaks. So we learned our lesson years ago that when we integrate other manufacturers' products, we want to work hand in hand with that manufacturer on a supported protocol to get the monitoring in there. So as part of the VIP program, not only are we doing that with manufacturers who have supported protocols, which is what we've done with Panamax, we've leveraged their new supported protocol to now we can do remote control and monitoring of all of their power products, regardless of what time frame or evolution that product was, because they had an existing, you know, rock solid protocol. But we've also launched our industry standard remote monitoring and management protocol that manufacturers can put onto their hardware to allow any remote monitoring system to reliably pull information from that device. So we actually, we showed the first implementation of this at CEDIA about a year and a half ago with Sony in their ES line of receivers. And Sony implemented a remote monitoring standard, and we could pull rich information like firmware, serial, zone one status, zone two status, zone three status, volume levels. We could do upgrades on firmware. We could reboot the Sony receiver. They did all of that using our remote management standard. And as we got out there and talked to other manufacturers, manufacturers were struggling because their standard control protocol was so different from the remote monitoring requirements and needs. And they were saying, well, how do we do this? 6 years ago, we would say, well, implement SNMP, which is a network management protocol, network monitoring standard. And they'd say, okay, that's great. We don't know much about SNMP. We'll go research it. And simple network management protocol is what SNMP stands for, but don't let the simple part fool you. SNMP is reliable, it's widely supported, but it's not necessarily simple to understand if you're unfamiliar with it, but also to implement it. So manufacturers had a really hard time engineering that protocol into their firmware. So what we did is we gave them a really easy to implement protocol that would make monitoring easy and reliable to get support across all of their product, all their devices in their product lineup. So this is something we've been working with dozens of manufacturers on to bring richer insights of how those devices are performing to the dealers. But we're also helping the manufacturers get better insights of how their devices are performing in the field for reliability reasons and things like that. So improving their support. And then the last thing we've done with our VIP program is we've also released a new protocol called the Device Visibility Protocol, which basically gives these manufacturers the capabilities of putting this DVP software into their device directly. So that device directly starts reporting back health and status information to our cloud infrastructure. And what that means is the dealer doesn't have to worry about selling a IHG Envision appliance to get status information from the Sony receiver. That, just as an example, the, you know, XYZ brand receiver could report back firmware, volume level, serial number without an Envision appliance being present. That means the dealers get richer information for service support. The call centers would get better information for service support. You've got a lot bigger data sets to offer better service to your clients. So it's a big kind of future initiative for the industry, for us, for these manufacturers to get better customer service support and engineering to visibility into performance of their devices. So that's kind of the VIP program. I know that's a lot, but in my mind, that was one of the biggest announcements that we made at ISC. We launched that with a number of partners, including Core Brands and Sony, and a number of others.
Yeah, it looks like you got what is this? Acurus, Indie Audio Labs, American Power, APC, Audio Control, Core Brands, Panamax, Russound, Sony, Surgex, and Y Reboot.
Those are some of our initial guys, and obviously we're working with lots of other manufacturers. You know, the challenge here is a lot of this involves actually putting our software into their firmware directly. So you have to deal with their product life cycles. And on some of these things, you know, engineering of these devices is a two-year roadmap. So we've got a lot in the works that we're really excited about here.
So, and I don't know if you can share this portion of it. It's just a simple question of, is Aihiji approaching the manufacturers, or now, this could be both, are the manufacturers are trying to get on board with the VIP program and seeing what opportunities this brings for their products to work with you, to see how their products are going to handle it, so they could take that data back to their people and see what can be changed and what can be better?
It's definitely both. I think that manufacturers are, the way I like to expand it, there are two types of companies out there in the consumer electronics space. There's the traditional consumer electronics manufacturers, and then there are the born in the cloud, I like to call them, manufacturers, like Sonos. So if I was to take a company like Sonos, not talking about Sonos specifically, but just picture a company like Sonos, they engineered their product to be connected all the time. And when you do that, if you're a company like that, you're probably putting systems in place to dump some status information when the customer calls with support issues, so you can see what firmware, what services are connected, you know, what the status of the Wi-Fi, what the Wi-Fi signal strength is. All that information is probably being dumped out to your servers because it was part of your initial product design. So they have that expertise in-house. But the traditional consumer electronics manufacturers are very good at making hardware. They're very good at making firmware. They're very good at performance, but they aren't necessarily good at cloud expertise, scaling expertise, remote monitoring, remote management, things like that. They weren't born in the cloud, as I like to term it. So they are looking for people with that expertise. And, you know, we are we were 7 years early to this RSM cloud space. We've been doing this for a long time. We've got the expertise. We've got the systems in place. It's almost, not quite, but it's almost a turnkey solution for these guys. So they don't have to invest millions of dollars in R&D and infrastructure and development to get some very basic remote monitoring capabilities and remote insights on their system. So manufacturers are definitely approaching us, as well as they see us as one of the kind of experts in remote monitoring and cloud technologies for, you know, the home space, the CDS space.
Do you think that one of the reasons, aside getting that information about their companies to see how their things are holding up and how they're handling across projects, is because there are more and more connected to devices, or there's so many more, and these other systems or manufacturers are being put on these types of networks and things like that, where they're going to be monitored or things are going to happen, and your companies like you are going to be monitoring these systems as a service. Do you think that because of the trend of being connected to everything now, everything, homes, buildings, like you said, cars, you know, are connected, do you feel that that would be one of the most number one reasons why more and more people are approaching you to become part of your VIP program?
I definitely think that's a part of it. I mean, when you think about all the connectivity and all the interdependencies, like our systems are more integrated than ever. If one system, one subsystem in the house isn't working, it could cause every other device in the house to not work, you know, based on just the requirements of the system and how things, you know, function and communicate. So the manufacturers are all seeing this challenge from their own support perspective. When the dealer calls or when the consumer calls and says, hey, oh, I've got a perfect example. Hey, my connected doorbell isn't working. What's the issue? If I'm the connected doorbell manufacturer, I only know a limited amount of information about my device, if anything at all, right, with these traditional guys.
Right.
But for that connected doorbell to work, my Wi-Fi has to be working properly. My switch has to be working properly. My router has to be working properly. My security device in my home can't be interfering with the traffic. The phone and the app have to be installed properly and on the right firmware. The internet has to be working. Their cloud infrastructure has to be working. There's a lot of complexity there that makes it difficult for that connected device manufacturer to say, hey, I'm confident that my device is working and you need to talk to XYZ individual. If I can now pull all this information in to a centralized system and the dealer has a call center available to them, for example, And the customer just calls that call center. The call center can say, hey, I'm looking at an overarching view of all your devices in your house, and I can see the breakdown is right here. That makes the customer experience so much better, right? Because you can pinpoint it. You can fix that problem across all of your systems. So I think manufacturers realize that this is a challenge, not just for them and their own little silo, but across all these different devices. So increasing the visibility is a benefit to everybody.
I think that your company has grown as such, and well, you and I spoke, March 4th, 2014, almost 3 years ago is when I had you on this show on episode 17 for the first time. And I wouldn't say that's when you were brand new, but you were a couple years in, right? And still, at the time, I think that more and more internet connected devices were starting to pop up more rapidly. And now it's just everywhere, right? So there, like you said, there were still remote monitoring like Panamax via My Blue Bolt and things like that. And then, you know, companies like Wattbox and things like that are offering these same services. But now your company has grown so rapid to where I think that what panel was I saw your company speak with several other, not the same type of services, but software as a service companies, to where the entire panel was basically a family of software for the CE industry, right? That kind of worked hand in hand and coincided with each other. We're kind of like neighbors that lived on this internet highway to work for guys like me guys like you, your previous company as integrators and things like that. Coming from this industry, your company seems to be more and more of something that just makes sense. Where I would say when I first heard about your company, for me, thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, but it's kind of a tough sell, at least for me, to try and wrap my brain around to sell to the customer, because I think at the time it was hard to explain why this was so important, aside everything living on the network. But now, not that they don't live on the network, now that there are just, let's just assume that everything out there is pulling information and connected to the internet, I think that more and more consumers are concerned for the one number one reason that you said earlier is security, right? That has been a huge concern in the last year and a half, 2 years. All I hear people is about, you know, when talking about controls, AV, and anything connected to the internet, the famous term IoT, Internet of Things, people are so scared. You know, what about my security? I don't want to get hacked. I don't want this. I don't want that. And with your platform, if you will, being so secure and allowing guys like me and girls and teams of integrations deploying these systems, allowing to add this extra layer of security and remote monitoring, I think it adds a layer of safety, it adds security, it adds a needed desire to go inside with each and every project out there, from small to large.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, it helps get dealers past some of the bad practices that are just, you know, port forwarding, for example, is a bad practice that a lot of people are still trying to work through, and we offer great alternatives to. VPNs is something that, you know, you need to control access, because clients are going to start asking, how do your systems access our house? When are they used? Who has control over it? How can we tell who's used it? With VPN, a lot of times you don't get that visibility, or it's widespread access. With our system, especially for the large organizations, we're logging everything that's being done. So you can provide a report to the customer that shows every reboot, every time the internet dropped, who rebooted it, what time, and what outlets, who remote accessed the system, what device directly they remote accessed at what time. So you get a lot more accountability and visibility into what's being done. And then, you know, there's turnover, right? Guys leave, guys find new jobs, people change roles. And when that happens, you want to be able to make sure that your systems are still secure. So we give you all that flexibility from a permissions level, but also user management level. So if somebody leaves the company, you just go into Envision, you delete their user, and they're out of all your systems. rather than having to think about the other 12 systems that you use for remote access support. If you're using a single kind of standardized platform, you only have one place to think about all of that. So there's definitely a huge security benefit to this, and it's something we've been preaching for years. And obviously, you know, we've learned a lot over this 7 years. The dealers have definitely learned a lot. There's quite a bit happening. I think the number of connected devices in the home has definitely increased quite a bit. The number of services that customers use in the home that require reliable streaming and reliable internet's changed quite a bit. You know, all these things have really started to make this remote monitoring, remote management space almost a requirement for doing business these days. And that was one of the big reasons we made the Envision Lite and the pricing changes, to help these guys make this a standardized system on their jobs. So I think you're absolutely right.
Is there any other announcements that we have not covered that you've announced or talked about at IAC?
I think we covered almost everything. We've got some other big things in the works. The pricing change is a big one. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of other partnerships. I think since IAC, we launched support for most of the Yamaha receivers for deeper visibility to those devices. So those are the types of things you're going to see from us in the next few months, and that you've been seeing. I think we probably launched 250 new manufacturer model supports between Cydia last year and Cydia this year. And I would say since Cydia in September, we probably have done close to the same. So providing richer insights is a key piece of what we're doing, because we believe that's the future. And I think dealers, as they get standardized in their remote monitoring tools, will start to see that benefit as well. We've been really busy over here at Ahiji. I think it's been a good 3 or 4 months since we've dropped any big news. And then obviously at ISC, we dropped a ton of news. You know, the biggest thing I'm hopeful for is the guys here in the U.S. who don't really look at ISC yet as a show they need to pay attention to. First of all, if you haven't been, as I said earlier, it's a great show to go to, especially if you're here in the U.S., all of your manufacturers are there. But it is a growing show, so we used it as a platform for news that affects dealers, you know, abroad and here in the U.S. So hopefully you guys listening or here in the States are hearing some of the good things we're announcing over there.
So anyone out there who would like to learn more about the company Ahiji itself, obviously you can head over to ihiji.com, which is spelled I-H-I-J-I, ihiji.com. I'm sure there are plenty of good resources there. I know, because I'm on the website now. And I'm sure what's the best way for a potential dealer to reach out to the company?
So I'll go ahead and promote one other thing that I think is huge that we never actually officially announced. But if you're on our website, you'll see the little chat app in the bottom window.
Yes.
So you can chat live with our agents through that. Not only is that on our website, but that's in every one of our products.
Ooh.
So you can log into Envision. You have a technical question about why is it telling me XYZ about this router, or why is it saying I have packet loss or latency? And that goes out to our team, and it's not a offshore call center that manages that. That hits our entire team, from our account managers to our admins to our product managers and engineers, even owners. So if you have questions, that's a great way to reach us with quick and easy questions. Obviously, off hours, it can take a few more minutes, but I think our average response time is less than 5 minutes on that. But you can always call us. You know, we have phone support. We have people at the office who work hand in hand with people. So you can give us a call, check our website, email us, or use the Snapchat. Plenty of ways to reach us. Or at the industry events, we're ProSource members, HGSA, ASEAN. We do stuff with the Bravos group. So we're doing the CD Business Exchange out in San Antonio. We're at CD Expo every year. We're at the Tech Summit line shows. We're at IC. So plenty of opportunities to see us out in the field as well. So hopefully, when you see us out there, let us know if you have any questions, and we're here to help. We're here to help this industry specifically. We're committed to this industry. It's where we're born. That's where our business comes from. So, just give us a call.
And to call them at, I found this number right on the website, right over what looks just like a picture of you in Texas looking out, Mike, is 512-538-0520. I believe that's the office number. I could be wrong.
That's the office line.
And anyone out there who wants to interact with iHiji on a social level, obviously you could like them on Facebook, facebook.com/iHiji. If you want to tweet at them in 140 characters or less, it's at iHiji, I-H-I-J-I. Of course, they're on LinkedIn. You could check out their business profile there, or Google+. They're obviously there too. And anyone out there who has any questions for me via email, if you want to tell me you didn't like the show and it could be better by blank, you are welcome to email me if you'd like there. It's Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y-M-O-T-A, the number 3. It's my first and last name, the number 3 at gmail.com. On Twitter, should that still exist tomorrow, it's at jmota3, J-M-O-T-A, the number 3. Same on Instagram. Facebook's probably a thing that I do. I don't remember. I'll have to ask the four-legged furry assistant once we're done there. And I'm sure I'm elsewhere. Anyone who is still listening to my voice at the end of this, thanks. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for listening to AV Insider. Thanks for finding us on the Rave Radio Network. And again, you can find all those things at ravepubs.com. Michael, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for all your information. I do appreciate it. And as time progresses and you can talk about the new partners, the new announcements, all of the above, I'd love to have you back and to talk about all of that.
Always good to talk to you, and really appreciate the time. Really appreciate all the listeners out there as well. So happy to talk more, and yeah, have a great one.
All right, everybody, this is AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show.